Okay, we're on today's daf is Kuf Lamed Tes, and we will be starting. So, Menachem, what do you get to start with? Umayyah, you showed it to. Start with the beginning of that story with the woman going to the base medrash. Okay, so let's start with that. By the sixth wide line on Kuf Lamed Chesem Abayis. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Seventh wide line. The Gemara is darshaning the pasuk related to, because the rabbis went into Karen B'Yavne and they said, I see the Torah. Torah is going to be forgotten from Israel. As it says in the quotes of Pasuk, L'Rav L'Lech L'Sam L'Mayim K'yim L'Shmoa S'Divrei Hashem. And we darshan that that means spiritual, L'Shmoa Divrei Hashem. And it says they will go from north to south looking for the Dvar Hashem and they won't find it. What's the Dvar Hashem? Either Halacha or Ketz or Nevuah. Umayi showed to do Levakish is Dvar Hashem. What does that mean? Amru, eighth line. I see the Isha, Shetito Kikar Shal Truma Vataksar, but they can ask you some other midrashos. Lay them to Mehim to Orehi. The Ain Maven. A woman, what's going to happen in the future? A woman's going to take a Kikar Shal Truma, a piece of Truma that she has, which possibly became Tamei. She will go to the shuls and the Bati Medrash to find out if it's Tamei or not, and nobody's going to have an answer for her. So as I think Menachem mentioned yesterday also, why? What's the big deal about an Isha doing this? Why not a man doing this? So A, either as we've seen a number of times that the Isha is the one that's involved in the Tzarchei Habayis. If you remember back in the second parak, we discussed one of the reasons why the woman is the one to do the mitzvah of Halakas Neiris and not the man. So we mentioned that some of the Rishonim say that the woman is, the Rambam says the woman is Osik with Tzarchei Habayis. So anything that has to do with the creation of the environment of the house, you know, she is involved in. So to here, this has to do with the food, so that's why she brings it. Or the Sharm Sayyidina Balacha quotes one of the other Rechonim that says, no, Hagufaraya, that there was a Choser Tznius in the future door. The Dafka, the woman, is going to come into the base bedrush, which is usually not a place for her to be. And that's part of the problem that's going to be in the future generation, that there's going to be a lack of Tznius. And she's going to come and ask Tami or Tara, and nobody's going to have an answer for her. So the Gemara says, 1 second. The generation is going to be that low. She's going to wonder if her piece of truma became tamei. But what do you mean? You know if something becomes tamei or not. If you have something, let's say you have a corpse in the house and the truma's in the house, of course it becomes tamei. So what's going to be the kasha? That's a pasuk in chumash. Everybody knows pasukim in chumash. And if they don't remember, they'll look it up. So im tahori v'tmeihi behed yiksevei. That's beferish. Mikol ha'ochel sheyachel. The previous beginning part of the pasuk had said, if there's something, what can become tamei? Food can become tamei. So what's going to be your question? Let them just look in the pasukim. So what do you mean? How could that be what the future is going to bring? Ella laid us. So the Gemara clarifies what's going to be im rishoni hivim shniya hivim maven. No, the question is, she's not going to be sure if it was going to be a rishon latuma or a sheni latuma. We know there are different levels of tuma. There's first parak in Kalim discusses the different levels of tuma. The highest level of tuma is the avi avosa tuma. That's a corpse. That's the highest level of tuma. One step down from there is not the grandfather, the avi avos, the avatuma. There are 10 different or about avos hatumos. That's something that touched a dead body. Sherets, Baal Nida, all the different levels of types of avatuma. Anything that comes in contact with an avatuma is a rishon latuma, and the sheni, etc. It continues going down. So her question is going to be whether her piece of bread, which became tummy in her house, is a rishon latuma or a sheni latuma. So that's going to be such a terrible thing in the future. People aren't going to know the answer. You know, we look around our generation. We think about when this is going to come true. But the Gemara amazingly even says, "Hanami bas Nisan." Still, what's the kashas of a first Mishnah? So what's it going to be that they can look it up in the Mishnah? We have to know how to look up a Mishnah. You got to look up the Mishnah in Kalim. But it says, "Hanami bas Nisan." Forget the pasuk. It's a Mefurish Mishnah. Kidetznan, as the Mishnah says in Kalim, Hasheres Shenimsa B'Tanur, a sheretz that is hanging in a tanur. We are talking about a cheres tanur, a earthenware tanur, which the halacha is by a cheres. Different than other materials. Other materials like metal or wood are matami binagia migabo. If some tuma touches them from the outside, so then that oven becomes tamei, and then it makes something else that touches it tamei. Cheres is unique among all kalim in that it's matame mitocho, from the inside of it. The sheretz hangs on the inside, an insect hangs on the inside of the oven, of the cheres, the whole cheres becomes tamei. It never touched the cheres, it was just in the airspace, but the halach is, that's the halach of cheres. It's not matai migabo, if someone touches it from the outside, only mitocha. Why is that? So the Bali Musar explained al piashkafa, that again, the reason is gzeiras hakasa. But why is it? Because cheres doesn't have any inherent value, the material. Wood, metal, that has inherent value. So if it becomes tamei by being touched, so that's significant. But cheres, what is it? It's dirt, it's clay, it's nothing. its only value is that it creates a kli. That's the mahus of cheres. Its only value is because it creates this kli. That's why it's batami mitochal, because the inside of it is its significance. So that's the halacha. So says the Gemara, how could the woman possibly have a suffix about whether the food is going to be a rishon or a sheni? It's a mafurish mishnah. It says that the sheres is hanging inside the oven. Hapasha betocho shnia. Shahatanur tchila. The sheretz that's hanging inside, the sheretz itself is an av. Let's think about it. So the oven becomes a rishon. Right, that's the next level down. And the oven becomes a rishon, so anything in the oven becomes a sheni. So what's the question? The Mishnah says beferish, what level of tumah this kikar of tshuma is going to be? So a backwood was stuck again. So what's going to be in the future that people aren't going to be familiar with halachas of the Torah? So Gemara says mistafgalahu. No, really, they're not going to be sure whether it's a rishon or a sheni, because they're going to have the following doubt. Mistafgalahu had to amar leir of achabar abal rava. The fact, the subject there of Adabar Ava had to Rava. Lechzi haitan or command the malyutuma, the tevi pas rishona. Adabar Ava had a subject that maybe when the sheretz hangs in the oven, we should view it that not, it didn't just make the oven tame, but we're going to view it as if the entire oven is full of tuma. Maybe that's how we view a kli cheretz that's matame mitocho. That in, the entire oven is full of tuma, and if it's full of tuma, then it directly, as if the sheretz is directly coming in contact and touching anything inside the oven, like the kikar of truma in there. So maybe it should be a rishon and not a sheni, because the sheretz is an av, so maybe we should view when it hangs inside as if it's coming in direct contact with the food, and therefore it will become a rishon and not a sheni. So maybe that's the suffix that's going to be. And Omar Lay, so Rabbi answered him, Lo amrin lachazi, hai tanur kamanda mal yatuma. We don't say that. That's going to be the suffix. But Lamaisa, we don't say that that's how you view the cheres being full of tumah. The Tanya, because it's based on a pasuk, as the Brisa says, Yochol, you call a kelim the tamin ba'aver kli cheres. I might have thought that all the kelim inside the kli cheres is going to become tameh, because I might have thought that you view the kli cheres as if it's full of tumah. Tamalomer, you don't say that, because the pasuk says, Kol asher besocho yitma, mikol ha'ochel asher ye'achel. The pasuk says, what's tameh inside? Any food. Ochlin mitamin ba'avir kli cheres ve'ein kelim mitamin ba'avir kli cheres. The halach is that only food inside a kli cheres becomes tameh and not kelim. What's the difference? Because the halach is ein kli mitameh kli. Right? A kli, which becomes, let's say the kli, the oven itself became a rishon, it's impossible for that kli to be mitameh a kli. As we mentioned, as you get into the weaker tumas, sheini, shlisi, or vi, less items are subject and susceptible to becoming tameh. For example, a revi'i. What could become a revi'i? La tuma. Only hektish. If something, like if you have a shlishi la tuma that touches hektish, then hektish becomes a revi. Because it's more delicate. The more delicate something is, the more susceptible it is to become tame. So let's say if a shlishi la tuma touches stam something, then nothing happens to it. So as you go further down, there are less things that are susceptible. So a kli can only be matame food. It can't be matame another kli. So says this answer of the Gemara, if it was true that we should view the oven as it's full of tuma, there shouldn't be any difference between a kli and food. Because everything is as if it came in contact with the sheretz. Ah, the pasuk seems to say that you don't say that, that only food is tameh inside and not a kli. That must reflect that you don't view the oven as full of tumah. Therefore, don't have that suffix that is the food a rishon or a sheni? Do we look at it as if the sheretz directly touched it or not? We don't say that. We say the sheretz hangs inside the oven. The oven, the sheretz is an av. The oven is a rishon. The truma is a sheni. And therefore, don't have that suffix. But lamaisa, that in the future, says this chazal, in the future, I see the Torah should tzakach mi Yisrael. So the halacha is going to be forgotten, Torah is going to be forgotten from Israel, because they're not going to be sure about this halacha. So just think about many times when the Gemara, a number of places in Sanhedrin and other places, when the Gemara wants to illustrate that Torah is going to be forgotten in Israel, it picks a halacha of Tum and Tara. It doesn't pick a halacha of Choshen Mishpat. So fine, let's say we'll know Choshen Mishpat, but that's not the barometer. The barometer of whether people know Torah is if they know Tum and Tara. Again, nowadays, obviously it's not halacha l'maisa. But, the Chavetz Chaim already writes, Be'ez Hashem, we all want Mashiach to come, and we all know Mashiach is going to come tomorrow. Mashiach is going to come tomorrow, every one of us. Even if we're Yisraelim, we have to know Tumah Tara. Because we're going to be around, we're going to be around the Kohanim, we're going to have to go to the Beis HaMikdash. We're all going to become Tamei every other day. So we have to know these halachas. It says that's the barometer. If you don't know Hilchos Tumah Tara, so then, that's how you measure whether people are going to forget Torah or not.
Why is the case Truma, not
Why is it Truma? It could have been Chulin also. Could have been Chulin also. Maybe Truma, because it could become, you know, Tame even further down the road. But you're right, even Chulin becomes Tame from a Rishon. Three lines from the bottom. Tanya, Rishon by Yechai Omer, Chas v'shalom shetishkach ketorah Yisrael. Chas v'shalom, that Torah is going to be forgotten from Israel. No, it's not going to happen. Shnemar kilosi shakach mipi zaro. So what does it mean that they're going to look for Torah and they're not going to find it? Rashi here explains that there's going to be machloksim in the world. Not that they're going to forget it, but there's going to be machlokas. You're not going to know exactly what to paskin. You're not going to know. It's not going to be brura. Halacha brura, mishnah brura b'makam echad. So that's why maybe this is a la part of why the mishnah brura named his sefer mishnah brura, that to try to be masaki in this issue, that to tell you lemaisa what the halacha is. Mishnah brura b'makam echad. Okay. There are other gemaras where rabbanan have machloksim what to do to prevent Torah from being forgotten. The Gemara here doesn't quote those Gemaras though. Okay, second line, Tanya. Rabbi Yossi ben Elisha Omer, Imra Isa. So we have we'll get through this Amud, so make sure, don't worry, we have time. Imra Isa Darsha Saros Rabos Bosa Love. If there's a generation that Saros Rabos, many Saros are coming upon it, say you bedok padayane Yisrael, go check the judges. Shekol Puranus Sheba Olam, Lo Ba Ela Bishvil Dayane Yisrael. Any tragedies that come upon the world is because of the corrupt judges in Israel, the Bishvil Dayani Yisrael. We've been learning Pirkei Avos recently, so much of Pirkei Avos, especially at the beginning, has to do with judges. We mentioned we're all judges. We're judges of each other. We're judges of our friends. Dan Lakav Schus. But here it seems to mean literally that Lo Balav Bishvil Dayani Yisrael. Shenei Amar, as the pasuk says, Shimu Na Zos Rashi Beis Yaakov. Listen up, Rashi Beis Yaakov, Hakatzine Beis Yisrael, Hamisaavim Mishpat. That are mitaev, that make disgusting judgment, that's kolay shayra yaakeshu, and they pervert all straightness, correctness, bonet sion bedamim, v'yushalayim ba'avla, they build sion with blood, v'yushalayim ba'avla in sin, rasheha b'shochad, yishpotu, v'kohaneha b'mechir yoru, u'nevi'eha b'kesav yiksomu, v'al Hashem yishainu. And they do all these terrible things, and they rely on Hashem. What does that mean? They rely on Hashem, and nothing's going to happen. Don't worry about it. But there's so much corruption, lefichach, because of these terrible judges that create such chaos in the world. Maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu Olein Gimel Puranios Kenegad Gimel Aver Shabiyadam. Because of these last three points, that Peshochad Yishpotu, Kohanim B'mechir Yoru, Nevi'eh B'kesav Yiksomu, because of those three Averis, Hashem's going to bring three Puranios on the world. Shneamar Lochen B'Golchem Tzion Sadeh Techaresh. But Yerushalayim will be plowed over. Yerushalayim Iyin Tiyat V'Harabayis L'Bamos Yar. Okay, so the Yerushalayim will be plowed over, and that will be a punishment for the judges judging improperly. V'Ena Kadosh Baruch Hu Mashu Shechina So'al Yisrael Ad Shikalu Shavu V'Shalom Rama Yisrael. A connected Chazal, Hashem is not going to be Mashu Hishchina once again until the wicked judges and Shotrim and the policemen are taken away. Shnei Amar, based on a pasuk in the beginning of Yeshaya, V'Yashiva Yadi Alayech V'Etzrov Kabar Sigayech. And I will return my hand upon you. Literally, it means I will cleanse you. After I cleanse you, so then I will return the shoftim and the yoatzim and the advisors. The chul. Period. Okay. Omar Ula, Ein Yerushalayim Nifta Ela Bitstaka. Yerushalayim will only be Nifta. But staka, in staka, shnei amar tzion b'mishpat, does this mean man gives staka? Or does this mean God does it, bit staka? That's unclear in the psukim, however one wants to interpret it. Tzion b'mishpat tipadeh v'shaveh bit staka. There is a halacha that we learn from this line. Anybody, what halacha could be related to this? Not halacha, just something that we do. The Vilna Gaon in Maisa Rav, it says, Sefer in Minhagim, Siyim bracha shlishis boni Yerushalayim amen. Rav says when you bench to the end of the third bracha, Bonei Yerushalayim. You don't say Bonei Brachamav Yerushalayim Amen because of this Gemara. But it says, Ein Yerushalayim Niftel B'tzaka, Ein Tzaka. Tzaka and not Barachamim. Tzaka is a different adjective than Barachamim. So the no quotes on the bottom. Tzaka or, right, see about Me'atam Shenem, right, see about Mishpati Padet. Right, based on this pasuk. That's why you don't say Barachamim, then those who follow the Minhagim of the grind benching, don't say it. Right, we say Amen. What is the Amen? We never say Amen to our own bracha. So we say Amen because we're mafsik between the brachas daraisa and the brachas darabanan. The first three brachas are daraisa. The fourth bracha was added on later as darabanan. That's why we say Amen. But the question is, do you say the word barachama? So the Vilna Gaon here says no because of this pasik of Tziyav Misha Tipadeh. Again, many have the minhag of saying the word Barachamav. One should follow their minhag. Again, it's interesting that he quotes on the notes, in the notes of the Maaser Rav, he says, maybe there's another pasuk in Zechariah that says, Komar Hashem Shafti Lushalayim Barachamim. So there is a Rachamim, and we say in Shmoneh Esrei, V'Yerushalayim Ircha Barachamim Tashuv. Right, and the Grad doesn't seem to argue on that lashon. So what is Barachamim? What's not Barachamim? Says Bechalik, maybe there's a difference between the Bin Yerushalayim and the Shekhinah coming back. But either way, that's a gra on this line. Amar Rav Papa. Gemara continues, Ibatli Yihiri Batli Amgushi. If the from the Yeri, from the word Yuara, if the Gaiva is Mavutal, if the Gaiva is taken out, Batli Amgushi, so then those parts of Jews who stay away, who try to be Mediach, and try to convince other Jews from doing Averis, so then those will leave as well. So again, Rashi, look at the Rashi, the last wide line on top, Batli Yihiri, who is that referring to? Yisrael Misyaharim Biblurius. With long hair, ubimavusha yihiris kipreshim alalu, meaning balagayva. If balagayva are mavutal, so then the amgushi, the people who hate and cause problems for other Jews, will be mavutal. If you remember, we had amgushi earlier. Daf ayin hey. We had halomid echad min amogush chayav misa. Gemara spoke about what an amgushi is. Is amgushi somebody who's a magician or somebody who's a mediach? None of the Gemara never didn't prove it from here, but this we're assuming here the amgushi is. Is somebody who gets other Jews to do avodah zara. So if the bali gaiva are gotten rid of, then the yangushi will be gotten rid of. Ibatli dayane, if the wicked corrupt judges will be gotten rid of. Batli gezirpati, then the gezirpati will be gotten rid of. What's that? So Rashi explains the gezirpati are those non-Jewish policemen who give us problems. The negative from the evil governments. Ibatli yehiri, batli yangushi. Where do you see in the pasuk the first line being referred to that if the bali yuara are gotten rid of, then the amgushi are gotten rid of? Dechsiv v'etzov kabar sigayich, that if I will cleanse you, kabar sigayich. And Rashi explains that we darshan, we switch samach and sin, switch in sometimes. They're osias mischalfos. So sig sin gimel can mean very high, sagi koach. There are those that are high or removed. So then the I will then remove the amgushi, which is the next line, kabor of asira called bedilayach. Bedil is could also be from the word havdala, to separate those that separate between you and Hashem. So that's how the it's a remez in the pasuk. If the bala yuara are removed, so then the those that separate from you and Hashem will also be removed. Ibali dayani badli gezirpati. Where is there a hidden reference to that in the pasuk? Dechsiv asir Hashem mishpatecha. Hashem will remove your mishpat, a reference to the bad judges. Panei ayvecha, then your ayvim will be removed. Okay. Amar Rabbi Elai Bishem Rav Elazar Reb Shimon. My defsiv shavar Hashem matei rishayim shevet moshlim. What's the reference in Yeshayahu where it says shavar Hashem will break the matei, the stick of the wicked, shevet moshlim? What are those referring to? Shavar Hashem. What will matei rishayim elu hadayanim shenasu makal lachazanehem? What is that referred to? The stick of the rishayim. These are the judges that have become a stick to their chazaneim. What does that mean? So Rashi explains that sometimes judges will have certain people that work for them, and the people who work for them will really be calling the shots. And the judges will end up being pawns in their hand. They'll say, I don't want to do this, I don't want to do that, no, I'm not going to listen, etc., etc. And that's what this is referring to. The matei rishayim are judges who succumb to the wants of the people who are working for them. So those rishayim obviously aren't shofet properly. The Gemara in the first paragraph of Sanhedrin, we learned Sanhedrin a couple of years ago, talk about how a dayan is allowed to be scared, lo sagur mepnei ish, a dayan has to be rich, a dayan has to be strong, a dayan has to be so that there's no problems, he won't be scared of anybody. Shevet Moshlim, what is that phrase in the pasuk refer to? Elu Talmud Chacham Shevet Bechos HaDayanim. This is referring to Talmud HaChachamim who are related to judges. What does this mean? So again, Rashi here explains that certain judges who are not appropriate to be appointed for the job, and they are appointed for the job, and for the rest of their time period, whenever they get into trouble, they call up their rabbi friend, you know, to cover up for them. Oh, could you call so-and-so? Could you call them? Say, I'm not so bad. Say, I didn't do it. So it's not good, says Rashi, for great rabbis to be related to judges if the judges aren't going to be so kosher. Yeah.
On top of that, it says that the problem in the world, which you look at the judges, aren't judges usually the most
Right, right. Again, there are different chazals. There are many chazals that say what the trouble in the world is for. So everybody has to do their job. The judges have to do their job. What about the Rishayim Gemurim? Aren't destroying the world? It's only the Dayanim. So again, every chazal has a message for us. So these chazals are talking about how there's a certain level of certain aspect of the world that is kept alive by the judges, and they have to be extra careful. But you're right. There are other chazals that talk about other populations in our society. Weiter, Marzutra Amar. Maybe there's a different reference of what Shevet Moshe Lamar. Elu Talmidei Chachamim Shemalamdin Hilchas Sibur LaDayani Bar. These are Talmidei Chachamim that teach a few of the halachos to Dayanei Bur, meaning judges that don't know anything, like Lo Bur Yerechet. So again, you shouldn't. They should know who they're appointing, and a little halacha sometimes goes a long way in a negative way. Sometimes, you know, when somebody knows a little bit of halacha, they think they know everything, and you know they'll pervert and. You know, they'll go the wrong way. So again, if somebody is going to be a dayan, then the people teaching him have to know that they have to make sure that he has the right attitude and he has the right base of information. So again, this person, Reb Elazar ben Miloy, we have a lot of drushes from him. The first thing you have to do with judges. What does it mean that your hands are going to be full of blood? And your fingers in sin. Your lips will talk falsehood. Your tongue will speak avla, also sin. So who is that referring to? It's all in a case of a judgment. That's referring to the judges. The fingers in sin, that's referring to the court, what are they called? People who record everything. The courts? Scribes. The scribes and the recorders, the transcribers. The lips are going to be talking shaker, those are the lawyers. People who tie in court. So everybody's doing their own falsehood. Those are the parties involved, the ba'ali dinim. So again, everybody involved in the court case, which is based on falsehood, will be held accountable and responsible. And once we have some drushes from Rabbi Loi, we quote another couple, which are based on other things. Famous drasha, from the day that Yosef left his brothers, he never drank wine. Right? He was Bavelis, he felt very bad, and never drank wine. And he was called in Parshas Vayechi, Yaakov calls him Lukakod Nazir Echav, he's the Nazir of his brothers, so a reference to Naziris. We know a real Nazir has to follow three halachas, right? No wine, can't be Tamei Mason, can't cut his hair. At least Yosef had one of them, Lukakod Nazir Echav. How do you know he didn't have the others? The Marsha here points out. We know, and the Torah says that when you get taken out of jail, he got a haircut and he took a shave to look nice for Paro. So haraya that he wasn't a real Nazir, right? Only the wine. So he didn't do the wine. Unless you say that he only got a haircut L'Kavan Malchus. But really, he was a full Nazir. Either way, it's unclear, but that's the remez in the pasuk that he didn't drink wine. Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina Amar, Afhein lo tamu tam yayin. The brothers also didn't drink wine the whole time, because they also felt bad. Tchziv, as it says, finally, when they came together, Vayishtu Vayishkiru Imo, they drank and got drunk with him. With him, meaning Bechalt Ad Ashtalo. Mashma, that up until now, they didn't drink either. The Ida, what about the first opinion? How does the first opinion learn this pasuk? The first opinion only says that Yosef didn't drink. Shichrus hu delo have, shtia mia have. What they do new now, getting drunk now, but they did drink wine earlier. The Marsha here asks, the Yosef drank wine now because he knew that they were his brothers. But how did the brothers drink wine? They didn't know yet. You know, so that, and they made a nether, whatever it is, to be in this state. So how did they drink the wine? You know, he did that, right? It says, Hey, Mohikiru. There's another Gemara that says that they had beards already when he left. So that's why he recognized them. But they didn't recognize him because he left already. He wasn't 17 years old. He was 17, whatever he was. So he didn't have a beard yet. So that's why they didn't recognize him. But Lamaiso, how could they drink the wine? So the Marsha says maybe because, you know, the same reason, says the Marsha, that we just said that the brother, that Yosef cut his hair, because it must be Amos Malchus, even though he was a real Nazir. So do the brothers, Amos Malchus. What? He says that he's in charge, and he says, have some wine. What, they're going to say no? So you have to, what can you do? So I saw it in the Sefer I've used before, the Biri Chassidus L'Shas, that Sefer on one volume on Shas, it quoted there, the Chazal that says that Yaakov Avinu didn't get Nechama all these years. Why? Because Gzeir al-Ameis, that only a mace you receive Nechama for, and not a Chai. That's why he didn't accept the Chama. Ah, he didn't know. He didn't know Yosef was alive. Is that when he didn't accept the Chama? So on some level of Ruach HaKodesh, you know, somewhere in the back recesses of his mind, he didn't really know it consciously, but somewhere something was telling him that, you know, Yosef was alive. And that's why he didn't accept the Chama. So similar to that, the Sefer Be'er Chassidus says that maybe the brothers also, the whole time, the whole 22 years, they were at home, but all of a sudden, in the palace of Yosef, they felt something. They felt something was different here, there was some more level, high level of simcha, they weren't in the same state of affairs. So again, even though consciously they didn't realize it, they didn't recognize Yosef, but still, maybe that's what allowed them to drink the wine. The same thing that didn't allow Yaakov to accept Nechama, maybe a similar idea, he suggests, to allow the brothers to drink the wine. Rami Rabbi Milai, finally the last drasha quoted in the name of this Rebbe, Bishar Verach of Asamach Belibo, Zacha Lachoshen HaMishpat Alibo. In the schar of Aaron HaKohen, seeing Moshe Rabbeinu, when he came back from Midian, seeing him and Moshe saying, I'm going to be the leader, I'm going to take one of Israel out, and his older brother looking at him, his older brother who was already a Navi before he was a Navi. As Rashi here explains, Aaron HaKohen was a Navi in Mitzrayim, before Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Aaron was so happy, and he wasn't jealous at all, and he had tremendous ava, he was just happy for his brother, b'schar, that feeling, zacha l'choshe mishpat libo, because b'schus that, he was zocha to be the Kohen Gadol, to have the choshe mishpat on his chest. What does that mean? The choshe mishpat, which has all the stones of all the shvatim, the ava, the oev shalom barodi shalom, that Aaron HaKohen was, b'schus the ava that he had for Moshe Rabbeinu, b'schus that, he was able to have the choshe mishpat on his heart. Again, a lot of drushes given about that line, maybe next year we'll talk about it. Truma Tetzava time. Sholchule, next. Back to the Sechah Shabbos. Sholchule b'nei Bashkar Levi. Back to the Mishnah that we were talking about. So b'nei Bashkar said to Levi. Bashkar is the name of the place. Kila Mahu, three questions they sent to Levi. Kila Mahu, number one, this Kila that we were talking about yesterday, this canopy bed, are you allowed to set it up on Shabbos? Number two, Kshusa Bakarma Mahu, Kashus is a type of vegetable, something that grows. If you have that in a kerem, in a vineyard, is that kilai hakerem? We know there are various types of kilayim. There's kilayim in your clothes, there's kilayim in your animals. There are two types of kilayim in your animals, working them together or breeding them. There's kilayim, kilai hazroim, two different types of plants. One of the most chomer kilayim is kilai hakerem. Kilai hakerem is in your vineyard, you're not allowed to have certain types of vegetables. And if you do, it's not only asr, it's asr bahana, you have to burn it. Kilai hakerem is a chomer form of kilayim. So the whole Masechus Kelayim talks all about the five types of Kelayim. So that's the second question they said to Levi. Could you build this canopy bed on Shabbos? Could you plant Keshusa B'Karma? And number three, Mace B'Yantif Mahu. If somebody dies on Yantif, what's the story with burying them on Yantif? Yantif Rishi, Yantif Sheni, we'll talk about. Ada'azo Nochnashi to Levi. While the questions were in the mail, Levi, the recipient, who was going to be the recipient, died. So he never got the questions. Amr Shmuel the Rabban Ashiya, but Shmuel said to Rabban Ashiya, Yichakim Mishalach Lahu. So Rabban Ashiya, I guess, opened Levi's mail, saw what the questions were. So he was told, you know, if you know the answers, you send back the answers to them, if you're a smart guy. So number one, he sent back regarding the first question. Kila Chazano Akol Tzidei Kila V'lo Matzino Latzad Heter. I lurked the whole sugya of Kila, and I can't find a heter to say you're allowed to set up this Kila, this canopy bed, on Shabbos, because he's going to be making an ohel. Why don't you send him like Rami Bar Yecheskel? What was Rami Bar Yecheskel? Do you remember yesterday on Kuflam Mechesem and Aleph, Rami Bar Yecheskel was the one that said that if it's attached before Shabbos by string or something like that, then it's mutter. Well, because we said it, let's say like the hood of a stroller. The hood of a stroller is part of the stroller before Shabbos. So the halacha is derech tashmisho. You're allowed to open and close that on Shabbos. You're making an ohel. No, the point is if it's attached before Shabbos, it's the same thing like a door. Opening and closing a door, as we mentioned many times, is not the same as closing up, putting a board up on a window. Why isn't it a bonnet? There's a hole in the wall, you're closing it. No, it's made to be open and closed. So the post can say the same thing with this hood on the stroller, as long as it's attached before Shabbos. And it's meant to be part of it, so then it's okay. So why don't you say the same thing by Kila? Again, it's just different than putting an extra thing, a rain thing on the stroller, which is not part of it. That should be open to Tefach before Shabbos. But if it's, and it's, there's a question about attaching it. But if it's part of the stroller, so it's like part of here, so why didn't he send him that you could do Kila in this way? Look at this line. Uvisha'ina b'nei Torah. No, he couldn't send him that because they weren't b'nei Torah. What does that Rashi here say? U'mekili tfei. And there'll be more mako. Sometimes a posse can't say it's mutter, even though it's mutter, if he knows that the audience that he's talking to is going to take this heter and run with it. and apply it to where it doesn't apply. Because there are certain areas of where this would come up. Again, a good example of this, you have to know who. I'm not paskening. I'm just mentioning an idea. The issue of showering on Yontif. Issue of showering on Yontif. Again, you have to ask a private shaila, and whoever's listening out there, you got to ask a shaila to your own rav. But again, that's a kind of issue which poskim, even if they would have certain heterim in certain ways, showering in certain ways with certain types of shampoo, etc., with other limitations, you know, a poskim in that type of instance would, you know, might be careful with what he says and how he says it, because one can see how it could get out of hand, both on Yontif and Chas V'Shalom to Shabbos, which is much more of a problem. But again, that's you learn out from this line of Eina B'nei Torah. Even though sometimes something is mutter, you have to know the audience that you're talking to. That was regarding the first question. Kashusa B'karma. What about number two? The vegetable and the kerem. So he said to me, Bruvya, it's a mixture, and therefore it's kelayim. V'lishlach lehu kedir b'tarfen. So again, he asks, why don't you send them like Rabbi Tarfon? Kedetanya, as Rabbi Tarfon says, Kishus, Rabbi Tarfon, Omer, in Kelayim Bekerem, Vacham Omer, Kelayim Bekerem. Right, Rabbi Tarfon is Makel, that it's not a problem of Kelayim. V'kayim Alon, and we have the general principle, by Arla and by Kelayim, Rashi explains, Arla is the first 3 years of your plant, of your vegetation, is Asur B'Hanah, you're not allowed to get any Hanah from it. The fourth year is Netzer Avai, etc. But there's a halacha by Arla, and there's a halacha by Kilayim, that says, Kol HaMeiko Ba'aretz, halacha Kamosa B'Chutz La'aretz. That those halachas really need to arise apply in Eretz Yisrael. In Chutz La'aretz, they're different. Arla is also Daraisa in Chutz La'aretz, but it says halacha Moshe B'Sinai. But the halacha is, built into that halacha is that whoever, if there's a machlokas about something in Eretz Yisrael, even if we're machra in Eretz Yisrael, the halacha is like the Mekel in Chutz La'aretz. Because in Chutz La'aretz, the din is somewhat different. So why don't you send him like Reb Tarfon? Right? Because Reb Tarfon is the Mekel. So again, the answer is Lefi She'en B'nei Torah. I don't want to send it to them because they're not going to take the heter properly. Yeah. They were obviously asking about this, but it doesn't say that they were B'nai Torah.
They didn't.
Okay, they in a kinami, but as we mentioned before, there were different levels, like Tumen Tara, and even if people know about Kilayim, he was worried about the crowd that they would take this and maybe go with other vegetables that were sure Yarek, and they wouldn't be Machal between Kashas and other things. And maybe there weren't Rabbanim in that city that they could ask questions to, whatever the Messias was. You're right, but from the question, it seems like they were asking a specific question. That's why would we think they weren't B'nai Torah? But that was the case. Machriz Rav, hi, Mandabay Lemizra, Kishuza Bakar Melizra. Rav said that anybody who wants to plant it can. He wasn't scared about, I guess, the B'nai Torah. Rav Amar Chasidah Magi Duave. Rav Amar gave Malkus for anybody who did it. Rav Misharshi Yovle Pruta Latinok Nachri Vizarele. Rav Misharshi gave a Pruta to a non-Jewish child to do it for him. Wow, why? Bottom Rashi, because even though it was in Chutz La'aretz and it was mutter, whatever, however he could do it differently, he wanted to. So, Valiti Leila Tinok Yisrael, why do you have to find a non-Jewish child? What about a Jewish child? Asil Misrach, no, you worry that when he gets older, he's gonna continue doing it. Right? It's a big question of chinach. At what age do you not let them do certain things because you worry that in the future they're gonna keep doing it? Valito, interesting. Rabbeinu Tam here talks about in the bottom of Tosfos. Valite in the second of Tosfos. Rabbeinu Tam. Whenever there was a bris on Yom Kippur, he used to give the wine to the tinok. You know, you couldn't drink it. You used to give the wine to the baby. Aye, what about Asi L'Misrach? So he says, come on. But right, you're talking about a baby, and a bris doesn't happen every week. It's not like it's not like, similarly, they talk about what about other cases, like a kos of Yom Kippurim to a child. But this is a bris. Bris, that's why. That's why he says it's not a problem. But anyways, back to the Gemara. Why are you giving it to a katan nachri? What about a gadol nachri? So again, that's not. He says that people might get confused and see you giving it to a non-Jew. They might not know he's not Jewish. They might give it to a Jew also. Okay, that's all related to question number two about kashas b'karma. Now, question number three. Mace. What about the case of a corpse, somebody who was nifter on Yontif? Shalach lu meis lo yizasku beilo yudav lo amaroin lo miyad davrisho ve'avdav sheni. He was clear, no heterim. No heterim, yantav rishon, yantav sheni, Jew, non-Jew, forget about it. Eini, but if anybody ever learned Masechus Beitza in the first parak, they'll know that this is not true. Eini, is this really true that you can't do anything? V'amar of Yehuda bar Shelas, Amar of Asi, uv dahavi v'vek nishu demon b'yantav asamach l'shabes. There was a story in the shul in Ma'on, when Yantav fell out next to Shabbos, and I don't know the exact story, if Yantif was on Friday or on Sunday. Not sure what the story was, but either way, the story goes, they came in front of Rabbi Yochanan to ask the Shaila, and either the person died on Friday, which was Yontif Rishon, and Shabbos was the next day, and if they wouldn't be able to bury him today, they would have to wait till Sunday, and that would be terrible for the mace, and therefore Rabbi Yochanan allowed the burial to take place that day on Friday, on Yom Tov Rishon. Or the story was that it was on Sunday, and the Niftar was on Shabbos, and therefore if you wait another day, it would be two extra days. So either way, Rabbi Yochanan allowed Amamin, non-Jews, to go through with the burial, which involves many malachos, right, Choresh and other malachas. They allowed him to do that on Yom Tov Rishon. V'yamar Rava, and Rava also says, mace, if there's a mace, Rashi learns this to mean mace, if there was a mace on Shabbos, and then Yom Tov is on Sunday, V'yam Tov Rishon yis'asku bo amamin, on Yom Tov Rishon, non-Jews could involve themselves in the burial, V'yam Tov Sheni yis'asku bo Yisrael, and on Yom Tov Sheni, even Jews could get involved. Safik derabanan. Yafilu b'yadav sheni Rosh Hashanah. Even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, Mashein kein bebeitza. Unlike the halacha bebeitza, what does that mean? Because they're not learning hilchas meseches beitza, but beitza shenolda b'yantif. If you have an egg, in terms of halachas of nolad, born on the first day of yantif, could you use it on the second day of yantif? So regarding Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara says that there's no difference between the first day and the second day of Rosh Hashanah. But here says the Gemara, when it comes to yantif sheini, even on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, they could be misasik. So again, the question is, why did he send him such a blanket isser? You can't do anything, Jew, non-Jew, first day, second day, yantif. You see that Jew, non-Jews, even the first day of yantif. Goyim, Jews, even the second day of Yontif. And again, the Gemara answers, Levisha Eina B'nai Torah. Again, you're right, there were certain heterim, but they would have gone overboard with this heter. Halacha L'maisa, this is a very important sugya. Again, if you look in the minhag of many chassidim, is to do burial on Yontif Sheni. Yontif Sheni, Al Yidei Goyim, which is more Mekah than the Gemara says. The Gemara says you could use Jews, Al Yidei, on the second day Yontif. But if you look in Bar Park, I remember Chazen Miller, I think, Ben Sion Miller in Bethel, I think his father was Nifter on Shvi Shal Pesach, one of those days, one of the second to last days, and on the last day, outside of Babov, they had, my father-in-law told me, there were thousands of people gathered, and the non-Jews, they did burial, that's their minhag, their mesorah is to do burial on second day Yontif. Rav Moshe has a tshuva where he says, we don't do this bezman hazeh. Again, they have their mesorah. But Rav Moshe, in Or HaChaim, which is Gimel Ayin Vav, says we don't do this bezman hazeh, because Rav Moshe understands the sugya as the reason that this is allowed is because of kavod ha-meis. Because the mace is going to be masriach, right? That you get the impression from Rashi that you're allowed to do it now because you're going to have to wait a day, you're going to have to wait 2 days. The whole issue is that the mace is going to become putrid and it's not going to be appropriate for the mace. But says Rav Moshe b'medina seinu bizman hazeh shaleka klal shash sirchon mitzad hakerach hamalachuti. Right, we have morgues, we have ways to keep the niftar properly. Sheyesh kan af b'yamim hayoser chamim. Even the hottest days, it doesn't make a difference. Ha ein shum tzarech lahakulas. You don't have to be mako, and he says, "What? You're going to be machir for kavod ha-meis, but is the nifter going to want everybody else to be mechalal yontif for him? That's kavod ha-meis. It's the greatest kavod ha-meis if you don't have to be mechalal yontif." So he says, "V'imhayim matzui zeh b'imei chazal. If chazal had these refrigerations, barur shelo hayim matirin. Look for a yontif sheini aflo ayde nachrim. That's where Moshe. Moshe said if they would have had this bezman chazal, they wouldn't have allowed it." Ach, mikol makom yesh lomar kivan dal kapanim tiknu a heter nishar zeh afshin esalik atam. But he's rather uncomfortable with it. And he says, after all, he says in the last paragraph, besides the heter, he says, many times you find a lot of other problems that come out with these cases. Chazinu sheyasim mizet takalos sheover malkama isurim, because they want people to let everybody know about the levaya. Ba'odas ha-levaya bekriyas betelephone sheakrovim va-makir b'yavo l'lavaz z'ameis v'harbi me'amalavim nosim b'mashins. That's cars, according to Rav Moshe. The base them at Makam Alavai, Vakan Alavai Zakfaris, Vu Aser, etc., etc. So that's why he is not into it. Again, the Mesorah of certain sexes to do it. So that's their Mesorah. Rav Moshe is against it. The Bear Moshe, the Debet Ziner, who lived in Borough Park, he has a tshuva about coming back from the cemetery. So once you're there, Lamaisa, so again, I guess in his world, you're allowed to do it. So you got to come back from the Beis HaKfaris. Let's say he's outside the Tzchum. So what Sorach is there? You know, is there, see, it discusses, is there a house out there? Is there anything out there? They can stay there till the end of Yantif. But anyway, this is an important Lamaisa case.
Would it make a difference if the mace happened on the first day or second day?
Would the mace, according to Rav Moshe, it doesn't make a difference.
According
to others, again, you have to ask them, I'm not sure. But again, meaning if the mace was nifter on Yontif Sheni,
right,
would they do it that day? I'm not sure. I have to, yeah. What are all these Suri Drabanan? The Kshos Vakarma.
What's the first one?
Right, Chutz La'aretz. Wait, no, Arul b'Chutz La'aretz is Daraisa. It's Halacha Moshe B'Sinai. But it could be a Daraisa. What? Well, Arul, I'm seeing Halacha b'Chutz La'aretz. So, Kilayim is probably Darabanan. Yeah, okay. Okay. Look, they were asking the question. If they're asking the question, they obviously want an answer. He just felt he couldn't give the Makel answer because it's, again, even Lamaisa, a Rav might give different answers to different people in the shul because, you know, different people, act differently. Okay, weiter. Amar Rabbi Yavin bar Ravuna, Amar Rav Chama bar Gurya. Misatev Adam, Bekila, Ubekas Kaseha, Vyosi Lur Shasaram B'Shabbos, Ve'eno Choshesh. A person could wear this, we'll call it a talus, a type of garment. And b'katzkaseh are like these strands and the strings that hang out at the end of it. And you can go out to Rosh Hashanah without an Erev, and you don't have to be worried about it, because those strings and strands that are extra, they're not considered anything. And therefore, it's not considered that you're carrying those strands. Right? You're wearing the garment. There's no problem with that. But the extra stuff on the edges, don't worry about the fringes. Ma'i shnami d'Rav Huna, what's the difference from what Rav Huna says? Rav Huna says, if you go out with a talus that is not appropriately mitsuyat, let's say it only has three tzitzis on it, the fourth one ripped off, says Rav Huna, if you go out with that, chayiv chatas, chayiv daraisa, chayiv for hotzah. So what's the difference between the garment that has the strings on the edges of it, where we say it's mutter, and this talus with the tzitzis that is not full? So why can't they be like strands? Why are they worse than strands? So the Gemara says, tzitzis lagabe atalus chashivi velo batili, hani lo chashivi batili. Tzitzis to a talus, they are inherently chashiv and significant, and therefore they're not mavutal. You don't say, oh, it's like nothing. It's all part of the garments. And the strands, though, don't have their own status, therefore they're going to be mavutal. Why are tzitzis not batel? So Rashi here says, because of tcheles. Because they're tcheles, and they're special, some say, and they cost more, and it's something unique, and tcheles, you know, it's not something so special. That's what's special regarding the tzitzis. Therefore, they're not mavutal. They're considered their own entity, and therefore, because they're not serving the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's just a maso, it's a burden, and therefore it would be a nisadar raisa. Tosis here says, no, tosis and tzitzis, different shot, they're not batal, because he has in mind he's going to be adding on a fourth tzitzis after Shabbos. They're not batal, he wants them there, because he's going to be continuing. He's going to put on a fourth tzitzis. So that's why it's not going to be batal.
So that
the Gemara doesn't seem to focus on that. The question was, you know, isn't that a violation of wearing a four-cornered garment without tzitzis? That's true. So the Gemara is not focusing on that aspect. The question is, are you chai for Hilchas Shabbos here? Chai for Hilchas Shabbos here, so the Gemara says, yes, you chai for Hilchas Shabbos, besides the fact that it's a problem in Hilchas Tzitzis. But you're right. It seems that would be the problem. What are we passing on Halacha L'Maaseh? Again, there are a couple of important points regarding this. So if you look in the Shulchan Aruch says, Hayotzi b'Shabbos should betalus she'ein mitsuyas is kilchas achayiv. But if you go out with a talus that doesn't have the four tzitzis on it, you're chayiv, because those chutim are chashuvim, v'dayto aleim machiyashlam esayot tzitzis, according to Tosfos' reason. Because you're going to put on tzitzis after Shabbos, they're not batal. But if it's mitsuyas is kilchasa, but if you have proper tzitzis, even though you don't have tcheles, mutal tzitzis b'Shabbos. If you don't have tcheles, you're still allowed to wear a Shabbos, and that's what we do. Right? We wear tzitzis, we don't, even if we're in a place without an Erev, we don't take off our tzitzis, we assume it's okay, and even though we don't have tcheles, because we paskin, tcheles ain't a makiv is a lovin. You can still fulfill the mitzvah of tzitzis without tcheles. There is, I heard, again, I try to look for it a little bit, but there is I've heard a brisker chumra, not to wear tzitzis outside without an Erev. I heard b'shem certain rabbanim that they had a tzitzis hook, you know, by their door, so when they went outside, they took off their tzitzis, when they came back inside, they put it on. I don't know exactly what the reason for that is. Maybe the following. Even Bizman HaRishonim, there was a chumrah. The Rush has a tshuva. In Klal Sheni, Tess, he was asked, maybe you shouldn't wear your tzitzis outside, because you have to be worried that they're not mitzuyas kilchasa. Right? If you know you're missing a fourth tzitzis, fine, that's obvious. But let's say you're not sure if mine's kosher, maybe it's not long enough, maybe it's this. So I'm not sure, maybe the whole shear is too small. So again, this might be the reason for that brisker chumra. But again, I'm not sure. But the Rush says, MSU, Shira Isi Laksasra Bosai Shah, you know, Agam Kane. I've seen some of our Rabbeim do this, that take off their talus when they go out to Rosh Hashanah. Who are his Rabbeim? He doesn't quote it here. But if you look in the tour in Shin Aleph, he quotes the Marami Rutenberg, was Machmir. Marami Rutenberg was Machmir, he says, Marami Rutenberg was the Rebbe of the Rush. Hayam Machmir Shalola Tseispa. Vadoni Avizal, the Torah quotes his father, the Rosh, Hayyotseba. The Rosh wasn't worried about him. So says the Rosh, Vani Omer, Shechumra Shein Latamhu. Says, what are you worried about? He said, it's very hard to make a puzzle tzitzis if he doesn't look puzzle. And what? So you're saying you're allowed to wear them, you just can't wear them outside? So what about the bracha you said in the morning? Do you make a bracha levatalo then if you're really choshesh? You shouldn't make brachas. Everybody makes the brachas in the morning. Everybody breaks the brachas on the tzitzis. Obviously, you're not so worried. So you're not so worried, you shouldn't take it off. V'olam lo nago kein livdo kol tzitzis kol shoshim esati betaliso. You don't have to go crazy. You check it once in the morning before you put it on, or at night before you, or after you take it off. He says, v'o tzitzis ain't a post of a kal, it's hard. So he says, l'inyan bracha. He says, you don't have to worry about it. Vadeh ha-Torah amra. He says, you have to just wear them and you don't have to worry about it. He even adds at the end, really, that tcheles. He says, interestingly, he says, we know there's a halacha that the tefillin shel rosh and tefillin shel yad aren't ma'akiv each other. Which means what? If you only have one of them, you can wear that one. So says the Rosh, me'ikar adin, you say the same thing about tzitzis. Oh, you only need two tzitzis. What do you mean? You need all four? That's supposed to be tcheles. What? So instead you'll wear two shel roshes instead of a shel yad? So tzitzis, what? You fill in the lavans with the tcheles? That's what we do. But if you me'ikar adin, you probably only need two strands. So it's pretty hard to passel that. So says the Rosh, he says, you don't have to worry. So just wear them. You don't have to be overly machmir and worry about it. And the Drisha even says it's a chumra da'asi l'idei kula because you're going around without tzitzis. So you're not doing the mitzvah. So it's not a chumra without any counter pressure. That's why the Rosh is based on the Shulchan Aruch that one does not have to be worried, and as long as they think their tzitzis are kosher, you could walk out with them in a place without an eruv. Just two other ha'aris on this line about by tzitzis to a talis aren't chashiv. So what did Tosfos say? Why aren't they batal? Because you're going to put them on and use them in the future. So there's a discussion in the poskim, the Shmir Shabbos has. What about sometimes inside a suit, you have extra buttons? Right, not my old ripping suits, but in the Emporio suits, you have these buttons on the inside or on the edges over here. You have these extra buttons. So if you're walking out to Rosh HaRavim, is there any issue with that? Any issue walking out with extra buttons? What purpose is this? What are they there for? See, if they're on the outside, okay, makes it look nice. It's part of the, makes it look like a fancy suit. So that's on the outside. But sometimes you have it on the inside. So that's not serving anything about noi. What are they there for? Because in the future, if a button rips off, you'll have an extra one. Isn't that like tzitzis? Isn't that like these? Why are they chashiv and they're not batel? Because you're going to use them in the future for a certain purpose. So we're all everybody's mind. I'm taking off the tzitzit and the eruv. I don't hold to the eruv. Hey, open your jacket. You're holding to the eruv, right? So that's right. So what's the so? Is there an issue? So the Shmir Shabbos is machmir. The Shmir Shabbos is machmir on top. He says, "Avol beged ubokaf tori chalafim reserve gam imhem tfurim bo aser lasispo." On the bottom, he quotes the Rosh Shlomo Zalman, so you have to always have to look in the notes of the Shmir Shabbos. Rosh Shlomo Zalman, he quotes on the bottom, was Mako. He says, no, it's once something has become part of the beggar, it's always known as, this is part of the suit, so you don't have to look at it now that these are there for the future. It's part of the suit, that's how you make the suit, it's bundled to the suit, and therefore, it's not going to be a problem. He also quotes, Ribiak quotes Ramosha, that was also Mako. Again, it's just an issue to know that it comes from this line of the Gemara, that Chashivi v'lo batli, according to Tosfos, it means because of the future. And just one more ha'ara, and then we'll have to move on, and then we'll have to get to the Mishnah. The Chassam Sofer in this Gemara says, there's a question that we've dealt with in the past. He doesn't say that, but we say that. It's a question about how the Avos, in terms of being Mekayim, call it Torah Kula. So a question that he asks, that some of the Achronim ask is, how could the Avos be Mekayim, call it Torah Kula? It says, Goy Shavas Chayiv Misa. Right, it says a Goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. Just like God can't learn Torah, God can't keep Shabbos. So Goy Shabbos, so what avera did they do? So, says the Chassam Sofer, they wore tzitzis on Shabbos. Why? Because it's on Shabbos. Because according to us, we're doing tzitzis mitzuyetzes. According to us, we're doing a mitzvah. It's beautiful. But they weren't chayiv and tzitzis. So if they weren't chayiv and tzitzis, so therefore it would be called. I don't need that. Don't worry about it. He says, "V'tiras hagon the love show tals mitzuyetzes the Yisrael tachshidhu ulevnei noach masuyu." Right. So then he says, "No." He says, "Maybe not. Maybe it doesn't work because really, if they're doing a shame mitzvah, it won't be a masuyu for them either." Either way, he brings that up on this line. Let's continue. Amar Abba Barav Huna. If you remember back in the Mishnah that we started out with, spoke about putting strainers on top of pots. Are you creating an ohel? Or is it uvda dechol? So we ended up saying that according to the Rabbanon, you're not allowed to even put a strainer on top of a pot on Yontif. If it's there already, you could put the stuff in, but you can't put it there on Yontif. So it says Rabba Rafuna, but there's a ha'arama. There's a quote-unquote trick that you could do to be able to do this on Yontif. What do? You put it on Yontif with kavana to put pomegranates in it. There's no issue of bo rare or maraca. You could have pomegranates in it. Just use it as a bowl. Vitola bashmarim, and then After you do that, you're like, oh, then you could use it for your shmar and for your wine dregs in order to seep out. Amar avashiv hu detalvar yimonim. You can only do that if you actually put pomegranates in it. And then you can take them out and use it for shmarim. But if some of you put it there, nobody's going to know from the outside that you had that kavana, and therefore it's going to be usr. So ma'ishna meha. What's the difference from the following case? The tanya matilin sheicher b'moed l'tzorach ha'moed shelo l'tzorach ha'moed usr. We know that on chol ha'moed, we mentioned this, on chol ha'moed there's an isr malacha. There are certain heterim. There are five heterim on chol ha'moed. You're allowed to do malacha for davar ha'avid and not ma'isa uman. There are heterim, but mikra din, there's an isr malacha on chol ha'moed. Focus on the moed and not on the chol. So it says about making beer on chol ha'moed, you're allowed to make for whatever you need, l'sarach ha'moed. But if not, otherwise, asr, you can't. Echad sheicher tamarim ve'echad sheicher sa'arim. Whether it's beer made out from dates or from barley. And adds the brisa that even though you have already, if you want to have new beer, you can be marim and pretend that you don't have any and make from the chadash. And there, you don't have to do anything to try to prevent people from thinking that you're doing something wrong. So why in the first case by the pomegranates do you have to put the pomegranates in, and here you don't have to be worried about anything? So another difference is over there, there's nothing, you put the strainer on the pot, people are going to look and say, hey, you're doing something wrong, you're doing it after the wine dregs. So you have to go out of your way to prove that you're using it for the pomegranates. But here, people see you making beer. So some of them, they'll think you don't have any. Some of them, they'll think that, you know, you need some. So that's why you have less of a Maris Ayin problem. The rabbis told Ravashi, look at that Rav over there. What did this Rav used to do? The Shaka brought the Tuma, Umarach Babar Zedana. There was a wine barrel with a little hole in it, and it was dripping out the wine. And he said he took a piece of garlic and he stuck it into the hole to stuff it up. But he said, you know what, I don't know where to put my garlic. I just don't know where to put it. You know what? I'm gonna put it here. And he puts it in the barrel. So he's telling everybody, oh, you know, I'm just putting it here. He obviously, they say, come on, Ravashi, look what he's doing. You know, he's doing it to stuff it up. This isn't an Issa D'Oraisa. It's not fully, completely stuffed. It's Kimisakein, Rashi says. So it seems to be an Issa D'Rabbanan, which he's being Mariman. And also, they say, V'azavadam b'mavre. And all of a sudden, look at that rabbi over there. He went to sleep on the boat. V'avar l'hach gisa. And all of a sudden, the non-Jewish boat driver took him to the other side of the river. V'sayer peire. And all of a sudden, the rabbi woke up, and he got to watch his fruit that were on the other side of the river. V'yamar, but he said, I know l'bneinim kamachivna. I just wanted to take a nap. I was just sleeping. I didn't do anything. And he had that, so they said, look at this Harama, Ravashi. So then he, Amalahu, Ravashi says, come on, don't worry about it. Harama Kamrit, you worried about Harama? Harama bidrabanan he. This isn't a Harama, about an Isidrabanan. Vitsurva, Mirabanan lo asilim avilachachila. And a Tamar Chacham doesn't have to be worried about a Harama when it comes to an Isidrabanan. Tamamishu, an Isidrabanan that applies to everybody. But to do an Isidrabanan, that in a way of harama, the Gemara seems to say that is not a problem for a Talmud Chacham because he's never going to come to do the Issur D'Oraisa. So it's a very important, we don't have time to talk all about it, but there's very important makoros on this line about harama bidrabanan. First of all, the Rush here and the Ritvah both say, lo kol ha'aramos shavin. You can never mix and match halachas of dinim d'araisa and dinim d'rabbanan when it comes to harama. There are some haramas that are totally mutter for everybody, says the Rush. There are some haramas that are always usr for everybody. There are some haramas that are mutter for a talmid chacham and usr for a non-talmid chacham. You have to know every case. Sometimes that word harama comes up besides various halachas. What about a harama in Issur d'rabbanan, right? There's a big discussion about mechiras chametz. Is that harama? You're going to sell your chametz to a guy who's sitting in your pantry. Right, it says big chametz on it. The guy's really going to come in. So we go through we make a real sale. We do five or six kinyanim with a non-Jew. We shake his hand, we lease out the, so is that a harama? So some folks can say, is that harama? So that's harama in a daraisa. I mean, it's a daraisa. So if Shachter has in his sefer, in Ikvei Hatzon, he says, maybe that's not a problem, right, specifically that harama. Because what's the mitzvah of tashbisu? The mitzvah of tashbisu is to read the chametz that you have. So is there a greater mitzvah of tashbisa to rid if you have more chametz? No. So Seder Shechtos, what do you do? So you always have a little bit of chametz left over, right? You're going to burn it the next day. So 99.5% of your chametz you sold beforehand. So you have 0.5% left. But you're going to do tashbisa to that 0.5. So you're doing the mitzvah of tashbisa better or worse with less chametz? No, you did the mitzvah. So you did the mitzvah. So what's this helping you? The stuff that you sold? That's to prevent ba'yira ba'yimatzeh. Huh. So Gemara never said there's anything wrong with that. To do a harama to prevent an aveira, that's mutter. Even by a daraisa. Only harama to do a mitzvah, That's what the Gemara was being machai between the Rais and the Rabbanan. So that's why, the way Rav Shachter explains why there isn't a problem by that. But again, at the bottom, he quotes other Makoros, which talk about maybe here this is limited. We've had the chilip before between Gezeros to Rabbanan and Malachos to Rabbanan. Maybe the only reason that this was muti here for a Talmud Chacham is only because it's a Gezer to Rabbanan and not a Malacha to Rabbanan. He then quotes the Rev Soloveitchik, that the Rev Soloveitchik used to tell people not to sell Chametz Ba'en because it's a Harama, and therefore Chametz Ba'en, Ba'yuraz, and it's a Daraisa. So therefore, you don't want a Harama by a Daraisa. But by Chametz Tarovas Chametz, which is just a mixture, you have some ingredients, that's a Darabanan, that's a Harama Darabanan, that is Mutter. Again, Schnapps is a Bikasha. Is that Chametz Ba'en or is that Tarovas Chametz? But either way, this is a major issue about Harama. But again, the most important makar on this is the Rosh and the Ritva, Lo Kol Harama Shavin. We can't mix and match and compare. We have to know what the post can say about each specific case. What's Mutter, what's Aser, when's there a Chiluk between different people? Okay, we'll stop here. And anything? Rufu Shleima? Today's shiva is Rufu Shleima, Tino Bas Goldatova.